Streaming bandwidth provided by Worship Channels. Live streaming made simple. Visit them online at worshipchannels.com. On today's Technobabble, Photoshop alternatives.
This is Tech No Babble, your weekly source for church video and graphics news, perspectives, tips, and tricks. And now here's your host, Paul Clifford.
Hi everyone, and welcome again to another episode of Tech No Babble. I, of course, am your host, Paul Allen Clifford. Thank you for joining me. Speaking of joining me, this show records live every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on churchtechcast.com. You can head on over and look at the chat. I'm glancing over to the side at my chat window, which is open and ready for interaction. Also, if you'd prefer, you can just drop me a line, paul at trinitydigitalmedia.com. Or head over to Twitter. I'm Paul Allen Cliff. That's PaulAllanCliff over on Twitter. And I'm happy to answer your questions. In fact, I have a whole show for it, which records on Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, again on churchtechcast.com. Also, I almost forgot to say, I'd love for you to, if you prefer not to do email or Twitter, go on ahead and give me a call, 1-877-763-3246 or 1-877-POD-ECHO to echo back to this podcast. Also, feel free to subscribe. If you go over to trinitydigitalmedia.com, I have subscription links for Technobabble as well as Tech Help for Churches. Those are my podcasts. Tech Help for Churches records Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, same as Church Tech, same as Technobabble, rather. So you can subscribe to those and get them automatically delivered to iTunes, your iPhone, Android phone, etc. So maybe I'll create a tutorial video later on exactly how you do it, but it's really a fairly simple process, and then you don't have to remember to check for new episodes from week to week if you don't tune in live. Speaking of which, if you did get this podcast through iTunes, why not head over and just give us a little link, a little critique, some sentence or two, doesn't have to be long, about how Technobabble has been helpful to you. That would be very helpful to me so that we can get the word out about this podcast, which, believe it or not, has been running on and off since 2005. So this is one of the early church tech podcasts. Did have a hiatus in 2008 and 9, I believe. But we're up and running again and have been for a few months now. So spread the word. So let's get to our main topic for today, Photoshop alternatives. Let me back up just a hair in today's topic and talk about when you do not need a Photoshop alternative. There are situations where Photoshop is absolutely essential. If you are a professional graphic designer and you're paid a lot of money to design stuff, please don't keep the money to yourself and not invest in your tools, because if you're charging hourly, you're going to end up charging more per project than if you used Photoshop, if that's what you're comfortable using. When you're a professional, you really understand your tools, and that really, really, really matters, that you understand your tools. If you don't understand the tool that you're using, it will cost you time, and you can't get time back. So remember that. Another situation is where you're working on a project that requires Photoshop. So there are some abilities that only Photoshop has. There are some things that just are much easier. If you're working in a group or you're working with someone else who needs a specific file type or a specific color space or something specific that only Photoshop can do, it might, in those situations, please use the right tool for the job. That's not what I'm talking about here today. What I'm talking about today is if you are a beginning designer or if you're someone who doesn't have any budget whatsoever, but you would like to design graphics for your church, you'd like to do work like that, but you just don't have the ability to really do that, then there are alternatives that you can go for. So let's talk about a few of those. The very first one is, actually it's two, but they're based on the same open source project. And anytime you hear open source, most people think free. That's not necessarily the case, although quite often it is. Free or open source might also mean that it is, you can take a look at the code and you can make changes as you need to, if you're a programmer. If you're not, you probably don't want to. So that's the genesis of open source. The first two are GIMP and GIMP Shop. Now, GIMP Shop is based on GIMP, so let's talk about GIMP, or the GIMP. That is, it's an acronym, short for Graphic Image Manipulation Program, or GNU Image Manipulation Program, depending on who you talk to. So GNU is a specific open source software license, and as such, it allows you to do things that commercial software just doesn't. So that's why that's important to some people, that they use that. So GIMP is fairly powerful. It's completely free. And if you've used Photoshop, it's perhaps not the right tool for you. Because there are a lot of things that are done that are just different. Now, GIMP Shop is closer, because it skins the GIMP so that it looks and acts more like Photoshop. But none of these are perfect alternatives. None of these do you look at and you go, oh man, why would anyone ever want to use Photoshop? There's reasons that people pay several hundred dollars for a piece of software. If it makes them money, if it saves them time, those are all great reasons. So, I'm going to, in the show notes, link to a Gizmodo article I found from earlier this year that has 10 Photoshop alternatives that are totally free. And you can do that, and hopefully that will give you exactly what you need if you're looking for totally free alternatives. In addition to GIMP and GIMP Shop, I also found one on Mac in the App Store called PaintX Lite that looks promising. Now, if you're looking for vector graphics as opposed to raster graphics, and we'll talk about those in a future episode. I actually have that set up for later on this month, I believe. So anyway, if you're looking for vector graphics, and vector graphics tend to have a more hand-drawn look, and that's because basically they're done with mathematics. So you say, well, the ratio of this line to this line is so much, so it doesn't matter how long this line is. If you scale that up, the other line is going to get bigger as well. So it's kind of like that. If you wanted to do something with that kind of graphic work, probably Inkscape is the open source software that you would want to use. That's similar to Adobe Illustrator. So the GIMP really has no vector graphics stuff whatsoever. It actually makes Photoshop look like Illustrator. I mean, it's that bare. So you would need Inkscape if that's the important piece to you. So if you're just adding text, though, most of these pieces of software can solve that problem for you. There are also less expensive alternatives, things like Pixelmator or PaintX. Those are both for the Mac, but there are also alternatives for the PC that can enable you to do just some basic image editing. I remember I first took Photoshop in college, and I'm class of 96, so we're talking about 1994, 1995. So the abilities that Photoshop had back then are really on par with a lot of the free alternatives today. So I really enjoyed the clone tool. I was really excited about the ability to do some of the work with masks, just some basic stuff. Which brings me to another alternative. You may not need full Photoshop. So if you're not doing print work, if you're not doing this professionally, but you have a little budget, why don't you look at Photoshop Elements? Now, I believe that they don't make this anymore, but check on Amazon and some of the other places, because there are some inexpensive copies. I bought a copy of Photoshop Elements for, I think, $20 a couple of years ago, and that really helped me for video work, because I needed something, and I needed something familiar, but I didn't need anything for print work. I didn't need any of the 3D capabilities or 2.5D capabilities that Photoshop had. So Photoshop Elements was more than enough. Now, when you come right down to it, it could be that you're really trying to save money where you don't need to be. And here's what I mean by this. With the Creative Cloud, which is Adobe's latest idea of how to do software, they're doing what we call software as a service. And so you get a subscription, and as long as you keep that subscription, you can use the software. So, unfortunately, it turns out to be more money over time, but we've all sacrificed money for the ability to pay for something slowly. And the advantage of this is you'll always have the up-to-date version, so you won't hear about a new version a week after this comes out and go, oh no, I just bought the old version. That's not a problem. You'll be up-to-date. the Creative Cloud, if all you want is Photoshop, you can spend $20 a month and get that. And for a lot of people, that's all they need. Now, if you need the entire Creative Suite, it's, depending on a couple of things, you're talking $30 to $45 a month, which generally isn't going to break the bank. Now, there are some smaller churches where that's really going to be tight, but it's something that, if it's important to you personally, you could maybe sacrifice and help make that happen. So those are just some of the ideas that I have for Photoshop alternatives. Whether you need it or don't, if you do need it, if you need something that has a subset of its features, you can look for open source alternatives, you can look for cheaper alternatives, you can even look for an older version of Photoshop. That's something that I forgot to mention, is sometimes you'll find an older version of Photoshop online, on eBay, on Amazon, something like that, that you can pick up for a fraction of the original cost. And it might do everything you need. In fact, it might be everything that you would ever need. And that would save you some money. You could go with the Creative Cloud. You could go, even if this is a one-off project and you have a designer friend, perhaps you can borrow his computer for a few hours on the weekend to make this happen. So those are all alternatives to piracy. And I really think that in the church, we should do our best not to pirate software. Now, I've heard a lot of excuses for why you should be allowed to, and basically they're all just bunk. So I really don't want to hear someone say, well, they charge too much, so therefore it's okay. Sorry. That it's not okay if a company charges too much, the way to make them not charge so much is not to use their software. It's not to contribute to their mindshare. It's to support another alternative and give them more commercial success just in the mindshare of the entire world. So that's a better way than to steal their product. So, and there are so many alternatives, you really don't have a very good excuse nowadays. Okay, so until next time, I want you to figure out how to get the best tool that you can in a legal way and use that in your church to go out and change eternity. Until then, I'm Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.